as we come to the close of this year and as we embark on a new year. And I want us to ponder and to think about our thoughts and our ways. In Isaiah chapter 55, from verse 7 through to verse 9, the scripture tells us that our thoughts and our ways are different from that of God's. And so our thoughts and God's thoughts don't necessarily come in unison. And our ways and God's way is at odds. And it sort of struck me that it is always a good thing to see how we can narrow that gap. And God is God. So we cannot expect God in the narrowing to come down to us. It is for us to step up our game. Is it possible for us to make a resolve to align ourselves with His way and His thoughts so that we can become more pleasing to Him? And in reality, we go amiss in many ways. You know, we think that God should save us the way we want to be saved. And so we tell ourselves that, you know, God is going to dream me. And in dreaming me, He will tell me how I am to be saved. When God would have established a plan of salvation for us from the very foundation of the world. You know, we tell ourselves that, you know, I don't need water. I don't need to be baptized in order to be saved. You know, I can just say that I want to be saved. I can just whisper the sinner's prayer, and then I am okay. And we could go on until next year, telling about things that we would want to see happen, but our ways and God's ways and our thoughts and God's thoughts are not the same. For the next few minutes, I want us to consider self. Self? Yes, self. We tend to think of ourselves to be very special, more special than it ought to be. You know, we think that we are all that. The world revolves around me. But I have news for you. The world does not revolve around me. It does not revolve around you. We are important to God, thankfully. And so He has made provision to save us. But oftentimes we have a false concept of self. We tell ourselves that, you know, I am righteous. You know, we tell ourselves that we are all that, you know, I'm all that, I'm a bag of chips, you know, all that and a bag of chips. But what we should recognize is that any righteousness at all that we possess, that comes from Almighty God Himself. In fact, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 6 tells us that we should be careful how we boast about our own righteousness. He said, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. So sometimes we feel that we are righteous, that we are sometimes more holy than God himself. But that is often a misconception. Because when we would have done things that would have us start treating ourselves as if we are all that important, then, oh, I didn't have this on all along, that we are all that important, at that point in time, God would be saying to us that your righteousness is nothing. It's like a dirty piece of cloth. So we have to, what are we saying? God's thoughts and his ways are different from ours. That's the gap. As far as the east is from the west. As far, that's the gap we are talking about. And one area is that of self, how we perceive self. You know, I like Revelations chapter 3 and verse 17. You know, where, you know, this person would have been ascribing himself as being rich. But at the very same time that he is considering himself to be rich, Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17, all right, and this was speaking of a church in Asia Minor. And it says, because thou sayest, I am rich. You know, sometimes because we have some possession, we start feeling that we are God blessed, that we are especially special and righteous. But that we are well off can be deceptive. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What are we talking about? The very same time we are assessing ourselves and saying that we are all this, at that very same time, God's summation, God's summary, God's conclusion about us, when he has assessed, he's saying, you say you are rich? You say you don't have need of anything? You're well off? We may very well at that time, in the sight of God, be wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You know, Romans chapter 7 and verse 24 makes reference to wretched. And, you know, and it says, O the wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And it goes on to say, I thank God through Christ. And this resounds for us, the fact that we are really wretched and empty and nothing without Almighty God. And so as we conclude this year and as we step into a new year, can we make it a resolve that we will be rich, not from our sense of richness, but because we would have aligned our lives with that of Almighty God. That even as Christians, that we would so live our lives that God is pleased with us. That we are not just satisfied with the fact that we have obeyed the plan of salvation 1 year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. But when we assess our lives and how he's working in our lives, we are really wretched. We are really empty. We are really living as blind people because we are not aligned to what God has in store or wants for us. We are naked. We are miserable.
if we are without Christ. And if you are in the audience, and it is that you have never held on to Christ as your Lord and Savior, then now is as good a time as any to embrace Him. Step into 2020 with God. Step into 2020 holding on to Jesus Christ. You know, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and we can probably all quote this, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And what is this saying to us? This is saying that God loves us so much. He recognized just how wretched, hopeless, blind, and empty we were. And He made provision through Jesus Christ to save us. You know, Jesus was in heaven. There was nothing that He would want. You know, He was a perfect being. And He left the splendor of heaven, came to earth, didn't even come in to live any rich life. You know, He was born in less means than probably all of us here. He was born among animals. He lived a life, a relatively poor life. But it's not how He was born or even how He lived, but it's how He died. He died a cruel death on Calvary, where He was hung on the cross, nailed. Why? So that He can save wretched, miserable, blind, poor me from inheriting eternal hell. And now we have the hope of eternal life. You know, if you, having heard that tonight, believe that and make a decision to change, to confess that Jesus Christ is in fact the Son of God, because some deny this, and if you are willing to be immersed in water, even tonight, you can become a part of the family of God. That concept of self, you know, where we see ourselves as righteous, we see ourselves as rich, we are seeing ourselves as all that. This is not a new concept. Right through Scripture, we see the idea where we see ourselves as this big thing, you know, when in fact God sees us in the state that we are as being insignificant. Insignificant, Brother Webb? Yes. You know, in Job chapter 4 and verse 19, you know, we are given a description. You know, we don't even own our own house. You know, it says that we are tenants. You know, you know, you're paying rent. Well, you know, you're paying rent in a small, in a big place. You say, well, you know, it's because, you know, I want to live in this big place and I can't buy it yet. But when you are paying rent in for a very small place, you realize that you are really in a dependent state. Yeah. And Job gives a description of us as mankind, that we are tenants in a house, not of gold, not a house of brick, not even a house of zinc, but we are tenants in a house of clay. And so it is referring to us as mankind. We are tenants in a house of clay, but we think we are all that. But as much as we are tenants in a house of clay, through Jesus Christ, we have hope of inheriting a mansion. You know, Jesus Christ told his disciples before he left that I have gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So here we are, can't even buy our own. We are that depraved. And it's not that we cannot buy a house of gold. It's not that they say, well, I can get silver. I can get bronze. No. We are tenants in a house of clay. And, you know, well, we are really made from the dust of the earth. Eh? But the point is that we sometimes give ourselves a false sense of importance, that we are so significant, but we are really just clay. But thanks to Almighty God, we can look forward to an eternity in a big mansion. You know, I like the description of that mansion or that heavenly place in Revelation chapter 21, where we get a picture of not just the mansion, no, you know, but just the gates leading up to the mansion. I wonder if we're getting the picture. Here we see a picture of that place that Christ has gone to prepare for us. And he's saying that when you look at the gates, well, let's, it's an exhortation, I can't go long. When we look at verse 4, well, even before we start looking at the mansion, it talks about this place where God shall wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. You know, and, you know, we can reflect even in this year, as we have done so many other years. But just this year and just in recent days, we still grieve the loss of persons like Sister Darby. You know, and while we understand that she's gone to a better place, we still weep. You know, there's still tears. But there's going to come a time where we will exist in a place where there is no more tears. So there's no more need to wipe away tears. There are no more disappointments that we will face. There'll be no more death and sorrow. But when we jump down to verse 12, it continues the description right through the chapter. And verse 12 tells us now, we don't even reach the mansion yet, we just reach the gates. And it tells us, and had a wall great. That's the wall now. And high. And it had 12 gates. Now picture that. This mansion that Christ is going to build for us. A big mansion. How many gates we have to this big place here? So, 2 gates. But this place that we are going, it has 12 gates. And it continues the description, verse 18. And the building of the wall was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. What a place. We who are tenants in a house of clay, we are to get a mansion like that. Then when it starts talking about it's describing the wall, you know. I don't even, for time's sake, I'm not going to get to the mansion itself. But does the wall, you know, verse 19 and 20 tells us, and the foundations of the wall of the city, you know, that's the bottom piece, that's that which is going to secure the wall going up. When it tells us of that, when it describes that, it says the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished. Was garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. And then you have sapphire and some other stones that I can't even relate to. But I can just picture that them pretty. And I'm just saying, it's just the wall alone look like that, you know. We don't reach the mansion. And we as tenants in a house of clay can look forward to that. Why? Because Jesus Christ loves us. As insignificant as we are, God has made provision in Jesus Christ if we are obedient to him to inherit a mansion. But not only are we deemed to be tenants in a house of clay, but in the sight of God, we are very small. You know, the psalmist in Psalm 8 and verse 4 asks a question, you know, what is man that you are mindful of him? You know what that shows? That we're really small. It's like him thinking to you and say, but God, what are we that you are so concerned about me? What makes us any more special? You could have made the dogs your important thing. You know, what is man that you are that you went at this length for him? Who am I? You see, we are really down here, but God has given significance to us. But we have to tap into it. Do we have a right sense of self? Our thoughts and God's thoughts are not in one. Not in one. But not only are we seen as tenants in a house of clay and as we are small and insignificant, you know, Isaiah referred to us as grasshoppers. You know, in Isaiah 40 and verse 22. You know, and the idea is that we are small. In fact, there's another analogy where, you know, remember the children of Israel, they were supposed to go into the land of Canaan, you know, the promised land. And, you know, they sent out, you know, person to spy out, you know, say, how are we going to get in there? And 10 of them come back and say, man, the people in the city, they're big. They're like giants. You know, compared to them, we are dwarfs. No? Not even dwarf. We are small like some fowl. No, smaller than that. We are like grasshoppers in their sight. You see the description? And that is how God, through the prophet, is describing us. Compared to a giant, we are like grasshoppers. That's how small and insignificant we are in the scheme of things. But do you know that if we continue through that story of the children of Israel, because, well, Joshua and Caleb gave a different description. And if we continue studying, we realize that the very same time that the other 10 spies were saying, hey, we are grasshoppers, the other people and countries and towns and cities around heard about the Israelites or the children of God. And the same time that they were saying these are like grasshoppers, the other person were trembling, frightened, when they hear that these persons are coming. They were nervous because they recognized that they had a God that made the grasshoppers giants among the giants. And so we When God is on our side, insignificant us, grasshopper us, clay us, tenants in a house of clay, small fry us, can get much significance. As I close, let us resolve to strive to align ourselves and our thoughts and our actions according to God's word, so that the importance that we are to, that we'll strive to have, we can have because God has ascribed it to us. You know, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13, verse 3, 13. Matthew, the Beatitudes, verse 3. You know, one of the first Beatitudes is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I said, Brother Webb, you're saying, as I go into 2020, I must strive to be poor? No. Well, we ought to be poor in spirit. And the idea behind being poor in spirit is to recognize that of ourselves, we are nothing. We are poor. There's nothing rich about us by ourselves. We are poor in spirit. Any sense of righteousness, any sense of holiness that we possess is because we recognize that this is given by Almighty God. And so let us resolve to be poor in spirit. Let us resolve to recognize that any sense of importance that we are going to get can only be had in Jesus Christ, because he has saved us. He has gone to Calvary for us, and we but need to be obedient to him. But I think I'm very important. Well, to yourself. But as far as God is concerned, we are just tenants in a house of clay. We are small, we are like grasshoppers. Our righteousness is like filthy rags. When we think we're rich, we are wretched, we are miserable, we are poor, blind, and naked. But if we depend on him, if we are obedient to his will, then wretched man, poor man, tenant in a house of clay, can become rich, can become truly righteous. We just need to obey the will of Almighty God. So we just encourage you, as we come to the close of this year and as we embark on a new, that we put our minds facing God Almighty. I thank God through Christ. I thank God through Christ. Blessing is yours. Amen.